Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
He fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped. And they were in great danger. The disciples went out, woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and he rebuked the wind. He got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? Who commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him?" Let us pray. Father, I thank you today for your word, and I thank you, Father, for the spirit of truth. And Father, I pray, God, let there be mighty, mighty, mighty understanding even in your word today, Father, around this passage of scripture. Father, I pray, Lord, give us a heart to receive, Father, everything that you have for us, not only to close out this year, but Lord, even into a new year, this month of January, that it would be marked with signs, wonders, and miracles, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, give us great vision. Father, give the church, give your people great vision this year, Father, as we go in, as things begin to unfold. I thank you, Father, that God, you're giving us great vision. Give us ears to hear, Father. Lord, your word says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, let there be an increase of faith in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, it's as I've studied this week, and I kept wanting to not preach this, but every time I would just stop and pull myself away from it. I just could see this passage over and over and over again. And it's just like, you know, I was like, I had started to prepare a message out of John 15. I certain passages of scriptures I really like to meditate upon. You know, John 13 through 17 is just a continuation of Jesus, as Jesus was spending the latter part of his life with his disciples. I love that. It's so fascinating to me, Jesus' words. But in this passage of scripture, I want you to see something today, and I want to leave you something with a word that, as we're closing out into this year and as we're going into a new year, that I honestly believe is really going to be helpful. It's really going to help the body. It's going to help you. It's going to help me. Amen. And I begin to journal about this word already this year. And it's not that I have a word, but I believe this is a word out of the Word of God honestly, if you grab a hold of this even this week, I believe you're going to get fired up. Anybody need fired up this week? Anybody need fired up going into, you know, setting your faith to go into a new year? I getting fired up sometimes good. Anybody play sports and, you know, anything like that? You don't even golf, right, Tyler? You don't go into it, well, you know, just hoping I play good today and with a bad attitude. No, you get yourself ready. So, you know, church, you get yourself ready into a new year. We're going to pray and fast. We do this every year, and there'll be some guidance and stuff coming out this week. We'll set 21 days aside in January, December 2nd through the 22nd, to pray and fast. If you've never fasted, you've never prayed, you know, you should, you know, even to give up a meal. And we'll talk more about that Wednesday night, but you know, we'll set some guidance out. But, you know, you should do that. Listen, guys, you as a child of God, above all else, you should expect things to happen in your life. You should expect God to move. You should expect God to at every step you take in life, you should expect God to be there. Amen. That's not what I'm preaching about today, but I'm telling you, you know, you got to get yourself fired up a little bit, right? You got to shake, you know, get up, shake the dust off yourself. Maybe you haven't been in prayer for a week or so. Get yourself back in prayer, you know, just dust those things off and get back in it. Amen. God is a good God, but you know, this passage of scripture is so powerful, yet there's so much to unpack out of this, because if you begin to see just the writings of Jesus alone, you'll find that here he is right at the very beginning talking about, you know, his mission, his purpose, his vision. And you see it time and time again. You know, the Lake of Galilee is roughly 13 miles long. Not that this means anything. And it's 8 miles wide. And it was estimated that they were approximately about 5 miles in on this journey. And Jesus, you know what Jesus said? I'm just going to sleep. Now, you could say that, well, you know, it would be a great assumption to say that Jesus slept because he was tired, right? You know, I'm not looking for some supernatural thing here, but Jesus was tired. He had been ministering. Now, there's a lot to say even about sleep because people don't sleep. You know, they sit up, they worry, there's fear, there's this, there's that. They can't sleep, but I promise you there's a rest that you can have. So there's a lot that you can see out of this. Jesus slept. He wasn't worried. Amen. He wasn't worried. You guys trekking with me so far? Jesus he slept. So you know, I'm going to tell you even this morning, some of you need to focus on getting good rest. You need to focus on getting good rest going into a new year. Amen. Setting your faith. You know, can I give you something even this morning? Pray for that. Pray that God gives you good rest, that you sleep well. You think, well, why is that important? If your body is not rested and you're not sleeping, how do you feel the next day? Exhausted. Amen. I got. Amen. My daughter. You feel tired. Anyway, but let's get back into this text because I want you to see something. I believe very much so that if Jesus wasn't in the boat with these disciples, they would have perished. They would have died. And you know, they were so alarmed and fear began to set in that they woke Jesus up. Now, could you imagine being in the boat and what, you know, I'm going to wake God up, you know. But they woke Jesus up. They woke Jesus up. But I first want you to see something in the very beginning part of this story. And as I read this the other night, I was like, you know, if we can only see this in the beginning part of things, and if we can begin to make our declarations and hold fast to what it is what's in our spirit, what's birthed out of our spirit, and what comes out of our mind. But Jesus, he says this because I want you to know this. There's enough power. There is enough power in the words of Jesus to get him to the other side. There's enough power in the very words. Jesus, what did he say? I'm going to the other side. I'm going to the other side. You catch that? Because see, Jesus makes a declaration. You know, he's making a declaration. You know, let's get in the boat. I'm going to the other side. You may think, well, why is that significant? Because see, Jesus knew purpose, he knew mission, he knew vision. He knew exactly, you know, I know where I'm headed. I know where I'm headed. And I tell you there's a lot to be possessed in just that right there alone. That we know. I believe the greatest things are upon the church. In beginning to be in 2025, I think we'll see things that I believe we'll see things, and we'll begin to see things that's been prophesied about. You know, we're seeing those things now. I can honestly say that, you know, I look back August of 24 when we called a fast, I think it was a week fast, the things that we began to pray for in that fast, this election in November, we were covering that in August of this year. The things we prayed for happen. So I believe that God is setting his church high. We'll get that in a second. He's setting his church up high to not only achieve his purpose, but to get to the other side. I do. I believe these men would have perished. I believe they would have died because the very thing that happens with people, and it can happen with a believer or a non-believer, is you can be set. Things can be set in motion. You can be set to move into an area to take ground or to do something for the Lord. But the enemy is going to try to create some kind of distraction. And here, right here, you'll see what happens is there's a storm. I don't believe this was just a freak storm. I believe the enemy sent the storm. You know, Dr. Morocco, we were talking after the fires. I'll share this first service. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe second. But after the fires in Maui. And I said, let me ask you something about the fires in Maui. Do you think they were set? Do you feel like they were set intentionally? And do you feel like, what do you, I'm just curious what he thinks, you know? And he said, he said there could have been somebody set the fires in Maui. But he said, I know for a fact Satan was behind this work. The enemy was behind this work. This was a spiritual attack on the island of Maui. There had been prophetic words that had been released to the church prior to this ever happening about preparation and about getting things ready. Why is somebody given a check for $200,000 for food 3 months before this ever happens? I'll tell you why. Because they knew that God knew. God knew. Hundreds of thousands of dollars of food went out weekly, monthly, let's back up, monthly. Because the church began to prepare, the church began to get ready. You know, and doctor, you know, we were talking about it when he was in this past time. They never closed their doors. Even to the place when things got stupid and they said, well, you know, you've got to change the direction of your cars. And he said that, you know, in the meeting. You got to, you know, your cars are pointed the wrong direction. You've got to change them this way because of the wind. But he said something. He said this storm, the winds, the enemy is the principality of the air. Where did this storm come from? You think about, even in the Bible, you think about this storm, this natural storm, the winds, the things that are twirling around, things that are happening in people's lives. So the enemy does one thing. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. The enemy was trying to take them out. You guys see, the enemy is, he's always working in a place to try to take people out. He's trying to pick people off. I tell you, his plan is never new. His plan is never, it's not anything, you know, it's never, you would think that after a while the enemy, you know, might come up with, it's the same plan. He comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. And that's even in this storm, that's what he's doing. He's coming in to create fear. You know, it's interesting because I wrote this down because, and I know I'll preach about it maybe first part of the year, but, you know, because, see, when I'm in a storm, when I have something going on, you know, I'm looking to see who's in the boat. Jesus is in the boat, right? I know that I have access, but I'm also looking in the boat to see who else is in the boat. Because if I got, I got the wrong people in the boat speaking the wrong things. I got the wrong people in the boat saying the wrong things. Guess what? I start saying the wrong things. My vocabulary starts to sound like everybody else. It's a bad storm. It's this, you know, this is that. But take your Bibles, go to James chapter 1. I feel this is, I tell you, there's such a, grab a hold of this today. I'm telling you, grab a hold of this today. It's going to open things up for you. Jesus said, I'm going to the other side. See, when your speech has discipline, I'm going to the other side. Then I'm going to the other side. Pastor Brad's going to the other side. It's a declaration. Stephen's going to the other side. I can say this to Stephen. Stephen's going to the other side. He's going to the other side. He's going to the other side. He's going to the other side. I can say that. I can make that you're going to the other side. You're going to the other side. You're going to the other side. I can make that declaration over them. But until they have the revelation of the declaration, and if Stephen never opens his mouth and says, I don't know where I'm going. 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 Maybe this, maybe that. Maybe this. People can see things for you, but if you don't see them for yourself, it's hard for you to be in a place of possessing. It's like possessing the land, right? Possessing a promise from God. If you don't see the promise, you don't have the you'll never obtain it. And I want to show you this out of James 1 because I think if there's one thing I believe that if we can wrap our minds around this. Did everybody go to James chapter 1? Look at this in Scripture. James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, which gives generously to all without finding fault. So if we lack wisdom, we should ask generously, right? And God, what's the Bible say here? He will give liberally. He will give you what you ask for. And it will be given to you. Let's go ahead, next verse. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blowing and tossed by the wind. Next verse. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Now, let's look. Let's go back and look at the Scripture. Jesus makes a declaration. I'm going to the other side. Hey, guys, I'm going to the other side. I'm resting in the promise of God. I'm going to the other side. If I were to sit here and begin to get my little note pen out and look at the difficulty and the things that the opposition, and, you know, I got this doctor's appointment. You know, but I got this bill to pay. I got this, and I got that, and I got all these things. And if I begin to map out and list everything that, you know, that's in front of me, I'll never begin to see the other side even exist. The waves, the sea, and, you know, the Bible is very clear here. This person, the Bible says in James 1, that this person that gets in this place of being double-minded. See, being single-minded is so critical for a believer. Guys, listen, this is what God's Word says. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Look at what James says, though, prior to that. He said, this person should expect nothing. Wow. I don't know if that hit you. See, that hit me. As I was beginning to think about this and read this, I was like, man, it's so important that as a leader, that as a pastor, that as a father, that as a husband, that I'm not double-minded, that I'm not here and I'm not there, and I'm, see, it's that I get focused, that I position myself to be focused where God wants me to be. See, Jesus, Jesus wasn't double-minded, was he? Not in any way. Jesus said, I'm going to the other side. I'm going to the other side. There's enough power in that statement right there for you to grab a hold of, that in 2025, your 2025 will be the greatest and the best setup year that you've ever had. Just that declaration, I'm going to the other side. Guys, listen, If we sit here and we start talking about the winds and the waves and the sea and being tossed back and forth, you know, if we begin, see, that's what the disciples were doing. They had a word from Jesus. We're going to the other side. Guys, listen, it doesn't mean that even with a word, it doesn't mean that the storms, the seas, that things aren't going to get a little lopsided sometimes. It doesn't mean that. And it doesn't mean that you don't have to work faith. It doesn't mean that that's the thing. People, I got a word, I don't have to do anything. No, that's not the case. You've got to do something. These disciples surely would have died. I believe Jesus probably would have, if they would have never, who knows, if they would have never woke him up, I believe they would have died. And Jesus, though, wasn't going to die. He got to the bank and he had four new disciples. I don't know. We don't know. That's not the story. That's me thinking. But being single-minded, being ready to launch into, and I'm not talking about a new season. I'm talking about you having revelation of God's word now for you in your life. I'm not talking about, January through March is going to be a season of this. No, I'm talking about having the revelation for yourself that you know what? I'm going to declare I'm going to the other side. Because, if you begin to make that declaration, you begin to possess that declaration out of your mouth. I mean, there were things that I was praying for this week. And I was like, am I sure I should say that? Because, I know how powerful God's word is. And see, there's certain things that I say that they're going to require me to pursue. And you understand that. You understand that when you make that, I'm going to pursue God greater. Then you're making a decree. You're declaring something. That's on you. That's solely upon you. So you pursue it with a passion. You pursue these things with the revelation of God. I believe the disciples, and I'm not saying like Christians, I'm just saying like people. Their life is goodness, the one thing I'm going to tell you going forward in life, and guys, with everything that's shifting and changing and all these things, you can't be a fragile person. You really can't be, you can't be moved like with the winds and the waves and the, you've got to get, there's a basis of where you've got to be solid, you've got to be planted, you've got to be rooted. That's why there is a church, amen? So it's so important that you, That you do that. But I thought about this because it's like people are fragile. The world's fragile. And it's like, these disciples, the only thing that they could see was the storm. In the physical realm, see, that's you've got to come out of the physical realm and quit just basing everything upon what you see. Because see, what happens, faith doesn't exist in that realm. Faith doesn't exist in that realm of the seen. I mean, it can, but once you possess it, you begin to say, no. How am I going a little further now? What am I going to begin to believe the Lord for? That I can go to another area. I can go to another level because see this realm of this scene is not faith. It's not faith. You know where the disciples seen faith after the storm had existed was they seen faith in Jesus. They seen their eyes got they got fixed on Jesus. They even at the end they say, "Who is this man? He's the Son of God." I know who he is. But who is this man that even the waves and the winds obey? But see, I can touch the water, the waves are high. Because that's what we do. I can touch I got this bill in my hand. I can touch this. This is real. I got, I can see the sky's gray. I see lightning. I see thunder. And see, you've got to begin to see beyond what's happening. I listen to some people like, that's why who's in your boat matters. Because I'm not going to get in the boat with somebody that they have a gray day every day. That their life is hell every day. Why would I? Why would I want to be in that boat? Why would I want to be in that boat with everybody making declarations about this and about that and about, can't you just love somebody? Try loving God. That's the commandment, right? Love the Lord God with all your heart. You love Him. Let me take it a step further. If you love God, God says you should then love people. If you're not loving people, you're not doing it the right way. If all you've got is a complaint in your mouth, you're not doing it the right way. If all you've got is your finger to point at somebody, you're not doing it the right way. It's unscriptural. You're it's dangerous. Well, this person, that person. No. I was listening to a message yesterday. I was driving. I was listening to a message John Harkey was preaching, and I was like, "Man, it was good. It was good because he was he's like, this world is always about victim blamehood. Somebody else's fault. Wah wah wah. Cry me a river. Give me a break. Grow up." This won't be in the second service. Got the mature Christians in the house right now. Grow up, though. That's the thing. Who's in my boat? It matters. Who's riding in my boat? Because if I can't, if I can't lean on that person, or if I can't find faith, I need to kick them out of the boat. Some of you need to kick some people out of your boat. Maybe you got the right people in your boat. If you do, praise God. We should be. Let me say this. We as a church, you as a Christian, you should be having the right people in your boat in this house. There's faith in this house. I've got some right people in my boat. I was thinking about this last night, and I will talk about this and preach on this sometimes. I thought, I know I got right people in my boat. I get phone calls from people in this church saying, "Hey, Pastor Brad, I'm praying for you and your family." Oh, that's the right person in my boat. Yeah? Just want you to know I felt to pray for you today. Hey, I got the right person in my boat. Is it always around prayer? Not always, but man, having people in your boat that pray for you, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Amen. I'm not going to be long with this today, but I want you to see this because you've got to be positioned as a believer, but being single-minded is very important. Jesus, I'm going to the other side. Jesus, he didn't wake up, look at, now I have this storm to contend with. Jesus never said, I just don't know if I'm going to make it now. Did he? Did he say, did anybody see that in the script? Did Jesus say, man, I got all this to contend with now? What did Jesus do? See, this is where faith kicks in again. This is where the element of faith begins to become real. This is where it becomes real for you. This is where it becomes real for me. Jesus, he got up and he rebuked. The Bible, he didn't say, oh, you know, storm, just chill, be quiet, you know, quit. Jesus didn't do that. He got up and he rebuked the storm. And when he rebuked the storm, you know what happened? His disciples, I could imagine, the four of them, five, who at the end, they all got on the end of the boat, and the boat was like this, but they were like, who is this man that has this kind of authority? Who is this man that, you know, yeah, even the winds and the waves and all that obey, but who is this man that when he speaks, the storm ceases? See, that's where faith, they've seen the activation. See, the word, your words carry power. Your words carry power. People, if you catch anything today, catch this, your words carry power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. There's benefits in what, the benefits that you speak out of your mouth are so important. Man, you know, there's probably 40 references even in Proverbs alone about your speech. I believe this is the greatest year for many of you. Absolutely 100%. But your declarations, the things that come out of your mouth are your mouth is a weapon. Your mouth is a weapon. You know, it was interesting because I don't know if anybody got this stomach virus or bug or whatever it was. It hit like a rock, right? You know, like a hammer. It's like a hammer over the head. But it was Sunday night. Brother Don and I were in here for prayer, and I had left my house. We were having Christmas at the house, and by the time I got home, Gracia and Zephon were nowhere to be found. It's like, where's the kids? They're like, they're sick. I'm just like, sick? How? What? What happened? And she's like, yeah, they got hit with this bug. You know, and I, three different times we prayed. I know where my help comes from. I know, guys, you have to know where your help comes from. You know, who's in my boat? My wife looked at me and said, we need to go to another room and pray. See, the purpose and why she was saying that, I knew why she was saying that, because not everybody might not have the same faith that we have. See, that's why who's in your boat matters. People talk out both sides of their mouth. And you know, and if people complain about other people, man, they're not. Evaluate that. Look at that. Because you don't want to become that. Amen? But you know, at that point, I was like, let's pray. We prayed. We gathered. There's four of us. We prayed. I went upstairs and prayed. Went and laid hands on the kids and prayed. And it wasn't literally within 2 hours. I was sitting on the couch. I looked at Maria and said, I said, my stomach. She said, don't say it. See, there's power in your words. There's power in your words. And I just said, I didn't say anything at that point. She said, don't say it. She wasn't mad at me or anything. And I never said a word to anybody. Giselle walks down the steps. Looks like a train hit her. I mean, she's like walking around the kitchen, you know, like, you know, I'm like, oh, I must have got you too. And she doesn't say anything. She's like looking for water. And next thing I know, I'm in the bathroom. Blah, you know, and she's upstairs. Blah, you know, and it was just like, And Zephon and Gracia are on the rebound. They're on the recovery, right? And I'm saying, Father, this has got to go in Jesus' name. This stuff's got to come out of my house. It leaves quickly. It goes in Jesus' mighty name. You know, and that's how we prayed. Kali, I'm glad to see you're up and doing well. I seen him the other day. Amen. Is Kali all right? He's out. He's on the floor. He's down for the count. But see, I want you to see something. See, it's these declarations, these things that we say, these things that we pray. They're powerful. No, this has got to go. And this is not staying in my house. And honestly, it left quick. I'm like, I'm at it now. I'm downstairs. Zephon walks down the steps. Like he doesn't even look like the same guy. He's got a smile on his face. How you doing, Zephon?
Good.
You know, he's bouncing around. I'm like, you didn't look like this 2 hours ago. And he's just like, yeah, I feel better. I'm kind of hungry. I'm just like, no, I don't want to talk about food. There's power. There's power in your words. The storm came. I'm gonna stand and I'm gonna speak and I'm gonna say, storm, go in Jesus' name. See, guys, the privileges and the honor that we have in His Word are so real. But see, there's enough power. There's enough power in Jesus. I'm going to the other side. See, there's enough power in just that statement alone that, you know what, I remain in that promise. I remain single-minded. I don't have to be unstable in my thinking or in my ways. I don't have to be in, well, you know this, or the grass is greener on the other side. You know, no. I'm going to position myself to be stable on a word and the word of God. Man. See, Jesus, I love this, and I love the context of this story because, you know, with the rebuking of the storm, it positions these disciples back into the area of faith. It positions them back to receive the promise that Jesus had made. I'm going to the other side. Minister, if you would, come to the keyboard. Let's go ahead and stand on our feet. You know, I thought about my boat. I thought about my boat. You know, who's in my boat? See, you can always have Jesus in your boat. The Bible says that He doesn't leave us, nor does He forsake us. So He doesn't leave. I think sometimes Christians just need to realize the power that's in them. And, you know, people get so focused on life and what's going on and out here, and people get focused on other people's storms. It's been so interesting. I've taken calls this week from people that used to come to church here. Pastor, I'm doing well. Things are good. Praise God. Let me pray with you. But God. You know, I thought about this morning early, and even just looking around, like, you know, I want people in my boat that are going to pray. I want people in my boat that are going to have faith, right? You know, they're absolutely going to, they're going to operate at levels of faith that are supernatural. You know why? Because I don't, would never consider myself to be the greatest in the boat. Because whoever's in my boat, I've got to be able to look at them and say, I want to come up higher because I'm seeing it in you. I'm seeing, you know, see, Jesus is in my boat, so I know that I can always come up higher, but even God's placed people in my life that you know, they're going to help hold me accountable. They're going to, you know, I have a pastor. He holds me accountable. I have more than one pastor, actually, so. But these gentlemen hold me accountable. These guys are in my boat. This church, the people in this church, you're in the boat. Yeah, it's like I said, the front line of defense is prayer. Is prayer. Thank you for praying for me and my family. We need that. Amen. We pray for your families. You need that. It's covering. It's what we do. You know, but the other thing in my boat, I was thinking about this. Man, I want people in my boat that bring joy. You know that when a wave that seems really, really big, you got that one guy or gal on the boat says, ah, that's nothing. We've seen that wave before. We've seen that before. Where's the boogie board? Let's ride this thing. Let's take this thing on. Oh, that lightning, it was close to the boat, but that's happened before. Come on, we can do this together. Don't you want people like that in your boat? I do. Hey, listen, you might have somebody in your boat that's negative. Honestly, probably will have. To be honest, you're probably going to have somebody in the boat that needs help. Yeah? But then it's your responsibility to help them. Right? I got some people in my boat. I'm going to help. I'm going to tell them time and time and time and time again. Pastor, why is this happening? Pastor, why is this happening? Well, you know, it probably has something to do with the decision you made. I just don't understand. I don't understand, Pastor, why this would happen. Well, it probably has something to do with where you were at last night, or what you allowed into your heart, or what you allowed somebody to speak into your life. Man, God is so rich in love and mercy. Church, I'm asking you. I'm asking you. You. Some of you have been through things this year that you were like, I almost at points felt unbearable. There were storms, and there have been storms. They've been sent from the enemy. They have truly been set from the enemy. But guess what? You're still here. Breathing. Living. Confessing. It's not time just to... Jesus slept. Okay? There's a time of rest, yes. But when Jesus was called into action, He stepped into action. Guys, this is the season that we begin to move. And breathe. I honestly believe that the greatest is upon us. I'm always trying to, you know, this is a week for me that I really try to seek the Lord, begin to pray and fast personally this week. And man, I have such a resolve. I have such a resolve in what the Lord's doing and what the Lord's going to do through people. I have a resolve. I mean, just this week, I mean, Jamie's in the back, but just people getting saved. I'm going to do the church. If there's ever a time for us to be mindful of the harvest, it's now. There'll be campaigns that run throughout these first 3 months. We're going to win the lost. This church is going to win the loss. You individually are going to be able. I believe that. I don't leave my house. You've got to leave your house. You got to leave. You got to leave your house to go tell somebody about Jesus. Start a podcast. Get on Facebook. Tell somebody about Jesus. Everything's shifting. Everything's shifting. Everybody, bow your heads this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Listen, this morning, if you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know today that you can make Him Lord of your life. You can invite Him in. You can invite Him in to come and live. Man, he's a guy that you need in your boat. He's the guy that gets you to heaven. He has his plan is eternity. You know, with Him forever. That's His plan for your life. Maybe you've never heard that this morning. But that's His plan for your life. So simply today, if there's anybody in here, you say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? I want to make sure as I go into this new year that I've received and I believe upon Jesus Christ. If that's anybody here today, you'd say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I want to make Him Lord of my life. Or maybe it's in here today. He's like, I need to rededicate. I had a cousin this past week rededicate to Jesus. It was a wonderful thing. And she shared it. She publicly shared it. And I was so excited. I publicly rededicated my life to Christ Jesus. If that's anybody here today, you'd say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Just slip up your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Anybody in the house? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, amen. Everybody, go ahead and raise your head. I want to thank you guys for being here for service. If you're here with the second service, that's great. We always have more, but